Hello and welcome to another episode of Man Buns and Jesus. Today we are down a man bun. Josh is on vacation that he has, earned per the stipulations of his job description, I guess. But I'm here today with a guest to talk about Exodus 25 and 26 and God instituting for his people the way he's calling them to worship. With me today is a good friend of mine, my second year of seminary roommate, when we lived in questionable housing.
We sure did, yes.
This is the pastor, the reverend, the most esteemed Brendan Harrell. Brendan, where are you at again these days?
I am in central Illinois, right in the middle of Lincoln territory here in Springfield. So... I think it says volumes when our two-year-old saw a statue of Lincoln. He's around so much that she confused him with Jesus. So we're working on that. Don't worry. She's not going to think Lincoln's Jesus for the rest of her life, but
it's okay. I also get mistaken for Jesus. So by two-year-olds.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So today, we wanted to continue our walk through the book of Exodus, like I said earlier, and a lot of the stuff that God is telling Moses to make as he's working on the ark, as he's working on the different stuff for the tabernacle, as he's working on the tabernacle itself. Actually, before we jump into that, let's just pause and like break down what these things are. So I'm going to just throw things at you, Brendan, because you're more of a nerd on this stuff than I am.
I know them all or not.
Well, I mean, just in general, how would you describe the Ark to somebody who isn't really familiar with what its purpose was?
Yeah, so I think just kind of like the general purpose of the Ark especially was kind of this localization of God's presence in the Israelites, especially when the tabernacle was still a mobile thing. That you could, you know, pack up the tabernacle and you could still say, oh, well, God's with us on the ark. Mm-hmm. And kind of the idea that it was the physical throne that God had in the midst of the Israelites. And in addition to the kind of like that throne aspect, that's also the memory aspect of it. It has all of the, you know, the tablets of the Ten Commandments. It has manna, it has Aaron's staff kind of in it as a way of like, these were the key times where God showed the Israelites who he was for them and kind of centering them physically around his presence with them.
Isn't there like a crowning feature that's like called the mercy seat or something?
Yeah. So this Oh yeah, go for it.
I was just going to say like another way we can like think about this is it's almost like a throne.
Exactly. Yeah. And I forget which psalm it is, but there's a psalm that actually kind of talks about the mercy seat as his footstool. So kind of still acknowledging that like God's bigger than this physical ark, but this, you know, throne is kind of the physical place God dwells with his people, Israel.
And that just showed up in the lectionary. Sorry. I know we just did it like a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. That's why I remember the number of it. One through 150.
Yeah. Take a stab. You got like a, what is it, a 0.66% chance of getting it right?
And if you don't, just choose another one.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. But actually, that kind of the idea of presence is a big deal with the kind of Old Testament worship in general. Because I think, honestly, you can kind of track worship in, as a whole with that idea of presence, too. Because in the Garden of Eden, the big thing that Adam and Eve loses is God's presence with them. They're kicked out of the garden. They can't have God with them anymore. And I think it's kind of cool then when we come to the tabernacle that this is the first time God's actually lived with people again since then. Mm-hmm. I think that kind of, I think sometimes we get a little bogged down with like the, oh, well, that's the old stuff we don't do anymore. Mm-hmm. But being able to be like, wow, that's really cool. This is God living with people for the first time since the fall. And what a big deal that actually was.
Yeah. And not just like visiting, right? Because yeah, you got the visitors to Abraham and Jacob. and Joseph, but like he's dwelling. He, like you said, this is his footstool. This is where his toe touches the waters of Earth, and like see the ripple effects branch out from. Cool. So that's the Ark, and the Ark ends up becoming kind of a center piece of this thing called the Tabernacle, which we could probably kind of describe as akin to a house of worship, but more complicated than that.
A little bit, yeah. Well, not that. There's only three sections.
Sure. I mean, right, so there's the place where the normals can gather, right?
Yeah, and then well, so it depends. Are we talking tabernacle or temple?
Both, aren't, isn't it? Because, like, there was a curtain around the tabernacle, right? And then the normal men could go into the curtain. But then inside the tent itself was just for the priests.
Yes.
Unless I'm mistaken. Okay, cool.
And then the Holy of Holies was only the high priest once a year.
Yeah. On the day. Yeah. Which in this case is Aaron, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It still boggles my mind that we've had the golden calf and Aaron was a big part of making that. And he's still the one that's like, yeah, you can go into God's presence.
That is interesting.
Anyway.
But it's also interesting if then you remember what his sons do after and they get toasty fried.
Yeah, true.
Which I guess at that point they knew better. It was like a third strikes. Yeah.
Maybe seventh.
Yeah.
So, we've now got God's mercy seat, this place he has his presence on earth with his people. And they have this temporary like worship house that they can erect around it for their ceremonies and things. But like, what good is that? What does it do for the people to have these things available to them? Because they could have put a big lump of gold in a tent at any time, but what is God trying to get them to do?
Yeah. Well, and I think the prophets are really helpful for us in that, where we kind of see when this worship becomes just a thing they did, that God says, like, that's not why I gave this to you. Mm-hmm. The whole purpose of why they had the tabernacle, why they had the sacrifices and all of these like physical ways of worshiping was to help train them to use their hearts and their minds in the right way. And, you know, the whole idea of sacrificing was the, you know, all of the good things you have, your physical possessions are stuff that comes from God. So you're going to give them back to him. You're going to have communion with him. And that kind of goes back to the Hebrew word for sacrifice, which actually comes from the same root. I'm blanking on what the actual word is, but it's from the same root as to have a meal. So kind of the idea that a sacrifice is a meal with God, which then, of course, you know, we pick that right up when we have communion and have another meal with God. But instead of a meal over a lamb or a bull or any of these kinds of things, we have a meal with Christ himself.